Xavier, can you tell us what your childhood was like and what led to your involvement in the criminal justice system?
Yes. Just to say my full name, I'm Xavier Mikhail Rathbay. I work for the Campaign for the Fair Sentencing of Youth, Senior Advisor and National Advocate. What led to my involvement in the criminal justice system, or the juvenile justice system much earlier on, was really a life of challenges that I had to contend with, very much unprepared as a child in particular, with obviously an underdeveloped brain, with the inability to truly weigh consequences, and most important, to navigate the traumas that I was experiencing because of that lack of capacity. And I think what happened for me more than anything was that I chose to run to the streets at a very young age. That decision came more or less in a very impulsive way, and it was mostly in response to those traumas. I ran to the streets at the age of 11 years old, and within that same year, I joined a gang. Within that very same year, at the age of 11, I was also shot in my face at point-blank range. Almost lost my life. Sadly, that wasn't enough to discourage me from the life that I was living. The truth to be told is I was seeking a family, another family. What was mostly unspoken in my childhood, throughout my detentions and throughout the trouble I had experienced, was the fact that I was living in a very abusive and neglectful environment. My mother contended with schizophrenia. My brother was also contending with schizophrenia, untreated and undiagnosed. My stepfather was a very abusive alcoholic, and he would hesitate at nothing to hit me, my siblings, and our dog. This was a weekly ritual, one which I eventually became tired of, and I ran away. Going in and out of foster care, going in and out of group homes, detention centers, being a victim of violence, witnessing violence, and by the time I was 13 years old, unfortunately, I had 19 arrests and 7 convictions, where eventually I became responsible, unfortunately, for a first-degree murder. At that very young age, unfortunately, I didn't truly understand the consequences. Yeah. It took me some time to fully understand what had taken place and how I was responsible. And I remember I was standing in front of a judge, and the judge said that I was incorrigible. When he said that, I didn't really understand what the word meant, and I remember going back to the bullpen waiting to find out the outcome of my transfer hearing. And I remember the public defender told me, he said, the judge meant that you would never change. And I remember looking back upon my transcripts, and the state's attorney stated, the defendant has an extensive juvenile arrest record indicative of a violent nature, and under no circumstances should be considered for early release. It didn't really dawn on me what he meant until many years later, while I was serving a 25-year sentence. And it dawned on me that what he was saying is that my nature was corrupt, that I had a violent nature, that there was really no redemption within me, and that I was irredeemable in a way that unfortunately many of our children have been characterized over the years. But fortunately for me, I had a light at the end of the tunnel. I knew that one day I would be free. The truth is that I did grow, I did mature, I did become increasingly more remorseful. I did wake up in a prison cell at the age of 18 and decided that I didn't want to live that life any longer. But at the same time, I was blessed to be surrounded by positive and supportive individuals who were willing to embrace me, to get me enrolled in college courses. I ended up getting an Associate of Arts, Associate's in General Education, a Bachelor's degree in Social Science. I had a 4.0 GPA, was inducted into the Franklin Honor Society for Outstanding Scholarship, was excelling academically, growing spiritually, and having a dream that slowly was becoming realized. And by the age of 26, I was able to walk out of prison doors with a mission to advocate on behalf of at-risk youth, a mission that was driven by a desire not only to live out my eternal apology to society and to the victim's family, but also to create a better legacy for my own life, because I knew that that's not who I really was inside. And so I guess what we're really hoping for here is to provide a light at the end of the tunnel for these individuals, so that those who truly change, those who have demonstrated positive change, can have an opportunity. And so they'll have to wake up in a prison cell and looking in the mirror at an aging face and knowing in their heart that they're not the same person, but still have to live out that existential nightmare because of a horrible decision they made when they were children.
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to comment on the story that young man, Xavier, I believe, just gave.
Yes.
Listen, it really made you think, because if you had asked me before I heard his story of what the possibility of parole meant for him when he was in prison, I would have just focused on the crime, and you killed somebody, and I think I don't want that person released to kill somebody else, you know. But so I would have been in favor of life imprisonment without parole, no matter what your age was when you committed the crime. But to actually hear somebody who, it sounds to me like that person changed his life.
Thank you.
That makes a big difference. And I hope that the legislators who will be voting on a bill this year, I hope they hear his story or a story like his before they cast their vote.
Thank you so much. You know, first of all, I really appreciate your words. You know, I want to clarify something that's very important to me that I share this, and that is that I'm not the exception to the rule. You know, I'm very fortunate to be a part of a great national network called the Incarcerated Children's Advocacy Network. Currently, we have 45 members in 18 states, and many of these individuals have stories much like mine. In fact, some of them were actually sentenced to life without parole in childhood, but because of the legal interventions, U.S. Supreme Court decisions, and other matters, they were able to come out, reinvent themselves, recreate their lives, and be living examples of positive change. So I just want to clarify, I'm certainly not the exception to the rule, but I was definitely given exceptional opportunities, and I'm very appreciative of that, and I'm mostly appreciative of your words, because that is what we hope to accomplish here, to help people recognize the humanity of these children, to recognize their great potential, and that no child is born bad. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your call and your comments.